Welcome you this evening to Bethel Baptist Church evening service with the visit of our missionary, Dr. Dante Rabinus. And we'll first like to praise the Lord and welcome those who are listening over the internet. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry you're going to miss some few pictures, but the missionary will be explicit so that you can understand what's going on. We start always with number 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And so, close to 40 years, I started evening service with this song. When I was in the seminary, I was in the church of the dean of the seminary, and that was the song we started the service, 255. Father, we come to you, the Father of love and the source of, by which we are saved. And we thank you, Lord, for the great opportunity that we have tonight to see and to listen what the Word of God is doing far away from here, actually in an amazing river, the Amazon River, as missionary Dante Rabinus work and exercise his profession and then share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with these people. They otherwise would have no chance to hear it. And so, Father, we thank you for moving him to that area. We thank you for the opportunity to support our missionary. And we pray that tonight will be a rewarded night for all of us to see that the gospel go forward in spite of circumstances. Father, bless us as we praise your name. Thank you for what have been done during the day and for the long day of services. And now, Father, as we conclude the day, may this be a great blessing to us. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Now you can request. Now we open the internet and now we have a two-way communication. Each time we have new news on the internet, you can punch your hymn book from the internet. Wherever you are in New Jersey or you are in Canada, wherever you are, you can punch the phone number or in the Republic of San Diego, and then put the number there in the computer, and we have the number. Otherwise, we choose it from here. All right? What will be the next number there? Señor, good. Señor Dulilo, yes. Number?
455.
Thank you very much, my friend. Here the Dulilo's family visiting with us from the far country of Idaho. 455. All right? Good to see you. Look at Tricia. Good to see Tricia. We're trying to figure out, Tricia, a little picture that I have at my night table. Who's that young lady? You have my aunt. And was you. All right. That's good. Years ago. In my heart there rings a melody. Very nice, Greg, to bring your friend this morning, and we pray that he may come continuously to our church. Thank you, Greg, for inviting him, all right? And very soon we're going to have use on Bibles. We have accomplished, what is, Greg, 1,000 Bibles already?
About 950-something have been given out.
Okay.
We're down to the last, like, 40.
And the good news is about how many business offer our Bible for?
We have 7 businesses.
7 businesses. With a Bible in the business, and you come to buy, they offer to you a Bible free from Bethel Baptist Church. And I have one person, and Morgan Hill, thanking me as I was walking in the shopping for the Bible they received from our church. And I don't know what store right there. It's they give a Bible because it was free. And I tell you, it is so good to know, makes me feel so good, that we have this opportunity to offer the Bible free to the people. And it's a good-looking Bible. You see it in the back. For you, member of the church, you can pick up one free, give us $100, and that's okay. All right. For you, great is thy faithfulness. Thank you. saw another hand here first. Well, there's too many here. Go here and I come back here. All right. I see Christian. You're from Idaho. See, we have, you know. All right, tell me. Jesus loves me. Yes, you are entitled. This is going to be good. We need that from the time you are not here. All right. All the kids, come here. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. 400 and something. 400 and... Jesus loves me is 400 and... 479. The pastor's choir has revived. All right. And yeah, remember when this guy was in the first row? Look at this. All right. Is the picture here? Anybody have a camera? Come on. Anybody have a camera? That would be good. Send us a picture. Some of the Dulillo kids will ask for this song, and even Anthony, he was young. And now here we are, two generations represented. Thank you very much. That was good. All right, we have another 7 minutes before the missionary come to us and bring a report and a short message for us. So we take it from this side. Yes, sir. No, number one. Yes, very wise person. Very wise person. Number one. We'll sing one stanza so that way we can get more. And if you are hot, all right. It's okay. It's at the right temperature. Okay? Number one. First stanza. Last stanza. Last stanza, but number one. The Idaho people. All right, go ahead. The Idaho people. All right. It looks like Idaho. 206? All right. Look at the face. Look at Idaho. All right. All right. 206. Thank you, Tricia, for called reviving the choir. All right. 206, number one in answer.
Thank you.
people are thinking on the other side of the tube there in the computers, all right? And yes, brother, let me, this section of the auditorium, my good friend Michael.
529,
all right? I think it's a patriotic hymn. My country it is to thee, all right? Certainly. All right, 529. Now from this side, Brother Lewis. 137. Talking about Jesus and His coming. Alright? 137. Place and pray my wife soon be recovered from this vertigo. And we are so blessed to have missionary Dr. Dante Rabines, who exercised his profession and medicine to the furtherance of the gospel. So, Brother Dante, without any other introduction, we know you, you just come in. Then he has the portable phone. Do you have your phone?
No.
Okay, we get it.
Okay. Pastor Greg, are we ready to show first? Yeah? Thanks. Huh? First of all, I want to thank the Lord and Pastor Otero for giving this opportunity to preach the gospel. And I want to thank to my wife too, because the Lord used her years ago praying for me and his family and my family, and all became Christians because of her. I want her to stand up, and I want to give a clap to her. Okay. We are going to show you, I'm sorry about that, it's in Spanish, missionary trip in the Amazon jungle, period of January to June 2007. I want to show you some of the pictures. Well, the people fish an alligator there. They are taking out from the river. The alligator there. They are cutting the alligator. You see? And that night I had a beautiful dinner, alligator. Yes, I had a big piece of alligator. It's nice. Here, there, I'm pulling out peace, and there, you see, I was preaching in the one before. Preaching there. Pulling peace. Okay. Yeah, that's the way how it works there. These kids are very strong, you know, they don't cry. No. They are good. They are better kids than the kids from the cities. If I take a kid from Lima, you know, the capital of Peru, oh, they will cry. No, they are very good. Yeah. Okay, I'm preaching there. Yeah. I think that's all. You know, I used to pull out a piece, or sometimes I do feelings during the day. And during the night, I preach the gospel. When there is a church, in the church, sometimes in the school, sometimes in the city council of the village, no? They give you a space there, and people from the other village, they come to here too. I'm going to read my report from January to May 2007. We had a rainy season during this time of year. I traveled along the Marañón River for 17 hours by a motorboat and stayed in some of the villages in order to do dental work and preach the gospel. People from villages nearby came to receive dental treatment and medicines, and also praise God that some people come to hear the gospel and receive Jesus as their Savior, as well as partake of the Lord's Supper. I also gave New Testament to the new converts and to others that needed Bibles. After I had been working for these past 6 years, this is a new project that I am going to start. I found out that I will never be able to accomplish the dental work as I had desired. Therefore, I will start a prevention dental project this year, which is to leave a scalar instrument, that the cleaning instruments and fluoride mouthwash, to people who are in charge of the village. I will teach those in charge how to clean teeth in order that they can do the same to the people in the village. A big concern is the children. I have in the past pulled children's teeth too prematurely because their baby teeth were totally decay. This brings as a result premature bone teeth in a small jaw, which will give the kids crowded teeth. And you know, and there is not possible to perform orthodontic treatment, you know. So I will return to each village after a period of time to check on the progress of the work, and most importantly, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. The health department only has 1.8 dentists, that means almost 2 dentists, for every 10,000 people in the jungle. The total population of the Amazon jungle is 1 million. These are the communities where I did my dental work. Well, all of them are in Spanish. Sucre, Bagatán, San Ramón, San Martín, Dos de Mayo, Firmeza, San Juan de Lagunillas, Ica, Puerto Auxilio, Puerto América, Santa Isabel, Lisboa, Esparta, Alianza, Lagunillas, and Libertad de Choroyacu. Thank you, dear brethren of Bethel, for your support for the Lord's work. May God richly bless you and your families, sincerely, myself and my wife. Thank you. So this is my concern about the dental treatment. You know, it's horrible. We can see the kids with all the canines, especially the canines, you know, they are overcrowded. Because if I pull out a premature teeth, the bone teeth will come premature and in a small job. So no space for the new teeth. And they will be crowded. And we cannot perform orthodontic treatment. So the preventive treatment is the best. I'm going to teach these people in the village, the one who are in charge, how to clean the teeth and do fluoride at the same time. So when I come back, those kids will be better. Their teeth will be much better. No, but because all of them are completely decayed, all rotten. You cannot save them with the gums inflamed, bleeding. So I just have to pull out. I can't do anything else. And it's terrible. So will you please pray for me for this new project? Amen? Okay. Now, I invite you to open your Bible. Exodus 3. We are going to talk about Moses, the commitment to God. What was God's commitment to God? First of all, we are going to see some aspects regarding Moses' life, about his life. And then we are going to read some verses of chapter 3. The same commitment that Moses had in those times is the same for us in these times, exactly the same, didn't change. Our Lord is not satisfied with us being only saved. He wants us to learn to live under His direction in order to worship Him and obey Him, which is the reason that He put us on this earth, to worship Him and obey Him. But sometimes we worship other things, not material things. Moses was 40 years old when he helped a Jewish man who was being pursued by an Egyptian soldier. Moses could have started a rebellion at this moment to rescue his people from the Egyptian yoke, but it wasn't the Lord's will. The Lord instead took Moses to the desert to become a pastor for 40 years to edify him, to prepare him for the task he had for him in order to rescue his people. We also see that it wasn't the Lord's time, not only the Lord's will, the Lord's time. This teaches us that that everything has to be in the Lord's time, not in our time. Sometimes we want to walk ahead of the Lord. No, we are very excited and we want to. We say to the Holy Spirit, just please stand up there. No, I will do the things by myself and this and that, and everything will go bad if you do that. Okay, because it's not the Lord's time. Moses, besides, wasn't ready when he was the first man of Pharaoh, as he was at that time, a man with a lot of Egyptian knowledge. Science, astrology, philosophy, etc., and a good military soldier. Unfortunately, these titles did not mean anything to God. As Paul said in Philippians 3:7-8, the pastor read that verse this morning. But Philippians 3:7-8, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ. So all those titles, my title of the university as a dentist, is good. You know, I traveled a lot. I made money in Australia with my profession. I traveled a lot, Europe and other countries. You know, I could see for my family, my wife, my son. He's a dentist too. So it's good to study. But those things for the Lord, you know, doesn't count anything. Therefore, the Lord sent to Moses to pastor sheep, which in those times was a job for slaves. A lovely job in those times. The Lord did so in order to humble Moses, because possibly he taught a lot of himself with a lot of Egyptian knowledge here. This teaches us the Lord will never use while we are proud. James 4:6. James 4:6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We have to be humble in order the Lord can use us. We have to be humble. Now we are going to read Exodus 3, from 1 to 5. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked on, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw no nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses, after these 4 years in the desert, working as a pastor, was ready to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Now he was ready, because these 4 years the Lord prepared him. He was working, keeping the flock, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called unto him, and he said, here am I, a willing heart, a willing heart. We read John 6:9. John 6:9. The disciples of Jesus say, "There is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Dear brethren, the Lord is looking for a willing heart like this lad. He was ready to give all that he had. He didn't have anything else. And as a result, a big miracle happened. 5,000 people ate, and 12 baskets were filled with fragments of food. That is the Lord looking all the time, just for a willing heart. That's all. That's all that he needs. Paul had the same willing spirit in Acts 9:6. Paul said in Acts 9:6, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You see, what will thou have me to do? No? That's a willing heart. And we know after that, no? Paul is prepared and starts to do the job that the Lord commands him. What a beautiful teaching from Moses. He felt something in his spirit and didn't hesitate to leave his job to see what was going on. Moses took the step of action, the step of faith, and there was present the Trinity, the angel of the Lord who represents the Son, the fire which represents the Holy Spirit, and the Father God who had called him when he called him Moses. We are aware that there are times in our lives we are so involved in our material or physical things that we can't be sensitive to our spiritual feelings. The Lord tries by all means to speak to us in the radio, in the TV, with the pastor, in the Bible, that this is the best. The Bible. Okay? He tries to speak to us and we just can't hear. As Moses was in the desert, we also need to spare a time to look for him in order to know him. As Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What precious words that he said there. And when we know him, we will be ready to do his will. Only when we know him. We have to know him. We have to know him. Sometimes we can feel the presence of his spirit. We will cry. I can pull out this. I can do this. I can do give money to the poor. Anything. But we need to know him. To know him. To be in that fellowship. You have to feel when he is embracing you. You have to feel. And then you will be ready to do his job. We'll keep on reading. Exodus 7:18. Chapter 3. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, and to a good land, and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. In verse 8, the Lord says that he came down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. But in verse 10, the Lord called Moses to do this task. Therefore, I understand he needs us to do the job. He needs us. I believe the Lord can do it. He's sovereign. He can do it. And he acts according to his will. On the other hand, I also believe the reason he put us in this world is in order to worship him and obey him. And we will obey him doing his job, doing what he wants to do. Verse 11 and 12. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Doubt. Doubt came to Moses' heart, and the same could happen to us, but we have to remember that if he called you, he will help and prepare you, and he will be with you, as he said to Moses. He will be with you. You have to pass for a lot of tribulation, maybe, but he will be there. He will be there all the time. He will never leave you alone. Sometimes, even you won't feel his presence. You will say, oh my God, where are you? He won't answer, he won't feel anything, but he's there, silent, silent. He will never be ashamed of you. If we are disobedient, we make his name ashamed, as people will say, look at those Christians, and so on, no? When people talk about against Christians, no? Verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What I shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. I am in Hebrew means the infinite power and the absolute fidelity. Having a God with these attributes, I will be so confident and I will go wherever he sent me. If he told me go to Iraq? How is it? Okay. I will go. Because he's going to be with me. I will go. I won't be afraid to die. Why? If I die, I will go to his presence. I won't be thinking anymore, oh, how much is the Peruvian money comparing with the dollar and this and that. Forget about everything. Verses 13 and 14. Chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, 1 to 7. 1 to 7. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous and snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again and as his other flesh. But doubt was still at Moses' heart, and the Lord had to perform all these miracles to him in order for Moses to believe. This sounds very familiar to us, since our Lord has done miracles in our lives, although there are times we still have doubts unto him. First of all, we have to see that the first and greatest miracle in our lives is our salvation. Amen? Our salvation. Now we will read 4:10-13. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who make the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Wow. Doubt and distrust was still at Moses' heart, even after all the miracles our Lord performed for Moses. Moses was still hesitating and thought that he would not be able to accomplish this task, and said to the Lord, I am a slow speech and of a slow tongue, and O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Sometimes we find this type of people in the church that make excuses like Moses before the Lord or before others when they are called to serve in any ministry in the church. They will say they don't have time, they are not prepared, they are not professionals, they don't have money, and so on. Some will go further, that they will say to the Lord, why don't you say Pancho? He is well prepared. Or Juancho, he is a professional. Or Sancho, he is not doing anything in his rancho. You know? We will give a lot of excuse. And the Lord say, I am telling to you, I am calling you. You know? Dear brethren, again, we need to have a willing heart in order to serve our Lord. And this will involve leaving things that are important to us, as our time, money, desires, ambitions, comfort zone, etc. We know that it's not going to be easy. Your relatives won't agree. Friends will reject you, ignore you, make fun of you, but you have to be like Habakkuk in chapter 3, 18, 19. Let's see what Habakkuk says in chapter 3, 18, 19. He said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places." We have to be like that, no? Take it like Habakkuk said. Thanks very much indeed to you people. Thank you for all your praying. Thank you for the financial support that I have for you people. And we are praying too for you. In the name of the Lord, I will tell you, and my wife is there, I pray the whole year for this church to get money and to become a big church. When I came here, the first thing that I heard is that you are going to have a new church. Praise the Lord. I pray the whole year in the name of Jesus Christ. I cannot lie. Thanks very much indeed, and God bless you. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you. Stay here, my brother. Yeah. As our brother was reading, I found in Exodus 4:20, which is my favorite, Moses, after all the trials and all the difficulties and all the circumstances, Moses decided to come back. And verse 20 is a return. And I want you to notice something in verse 20. Moses has the capacity of an engineer, which is superior to any, and the capacity of language. Moses is there with everything he has in his. But look at what happened in verse 20. Read it. Do you notice what happened? There's something peculiar there in verse 20. There is something really tricky for you. I'll read it for you. And then you tell me, all right? Now, Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. Moses took the rod of God in his hand. That was his rod. But it's no longer his rod. It's the rod of God. The rod was the instrument. I took my engineering into the gospel. There was no more my engineering, so I cannot send a bill for $250 an hour to the people that I did work. I never knew that God would use me for 29 years to build the stations in Florida that broadcast the entire world. We did the foundation on water, and we survived, and we did all of these, there was no check paid for me for my engineer. There was no my engineer any longer. It was God's engineer. Our brother, I take in tooth. No longer at $250 a minute. I see he take tooth the dentist. Alright? Why? Because now his dentistry is of God. And that, I think, is the secret with our brother. Come here, our brother. You maybe have questions, and he will answer to you for the questions. Alright? Is there any questions tonight? Yes, sir. You don't put the hands on.
You have to come for a trip with me, okay? You don't have to put your hands there.
All right. Any other more questions? So here I see a few more things, the piranhas. What other weird animals are around there?
We eat monkeys too.
Oh, okay.
We eat monkeys too.
Yeah, that's nice. It looks like chicken. Is it fried? Yeah. It's good.
Then we have those wild pigs. No, wild pigs like pigs, but they are wild in the jungle. They are not food, not meat. Yeah.
And how the alligator taste?
It's nice. It's better than a fish. Yeah.
Well,
but before, 3 years ago, I had a smoked alligator.
Aha, it was good.
Delicatessen.
Yeah. We go to the hometown buffet. I want to ask for that.
Okay.
All right. Yes, sir, in the back. Maria?
I'm curious to know how the people there where you go that are in faces not a largely educated people, how do they receive the gospel in their hearts from you and your wife? I know that she ministers to the ladies also, but how are the people in there? Because they are they believe in idols, or to some do. I know.
You know one thing? It's very important for missionaries to do both things, the word and the word. This word and the deed. And I pray the Lord for my profession, you know. Even if some people say we reject the gospel, you know, as an example, but they are ready to come to see me as a dentist. Oh, they are, you know, they bring all the family, six, eight persons. So they receive us, you know, with all their heart. When they see the boat arriving, they will come and take all my things. I just walk like that. I don't have to carry anything. They take all my bag, generator, my compressor, when I have to do things, you know, that's very heavy, I can't carry, okay? They do all the things, okay? And they put now, there.
A question I've never heard is, are they receptive to the gospel?
Yeah. Some village, you know, I don't go to other village. Remember, I name it many village. I don't go to all of them. I will stay in four village, okay? In this village. But the people, the other villages, half an hour from there. And they know that I am there because they pass the boat, okay? Yeah. So they come for dental treatment and at night time they come to for the gospel. Yeah. I tell them, you have to come, okay, you know, I'm pulling out your teeth and I charge any money. Will you please come at night?
Come away. Will you come tonight?
You know, it's like a hook. Okay? Yeah, that's the way.
So,
you know, we don't have any problem. Sometimes, this last trip was a village where people drink a lot. They drink a lot. Only 12 people came to at night time when I was preaching. And we had a communion too, you know?
Yeah.
I take some grapes, you know, or...
The Lord's Supper.
Yeah, the Lord's Supper. And I was a bit disappointed, but sometimes that happens, you know, that happens. You won't get many people, some maybe will reject, but just a few people. But most of the time, I could say 95%, okay, they will be with an open heart. Besides, I give them New Testament, you know, Gideon's New Testament. Okay?
Yeah.
I give it to them. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Any other? Tricia?
Right.
Tricia.
How long do you usually spend when you go to a village? How long do you stay there?
Yeah, I stay 12 days, 15 days, sometimes 8 days, depending where I'm, what it is, or how far away it is. Sometimes I travel two and a half days.
In boat? There is no bed in the boat.
No, my hammock. Hammock. You just have to go in and tie your hammock here and there. And all the hammocks are like that. You have a neighbor here, another neighbor here. Yeah. That's the way how we do it.
Victor?
Can you give us an update financially, like what your needs are, and you know, if you're getting enough to supply your needs, or, you know, how, can you give us an update for that?
He told me, this is the only church that's supporting, so he's living on $100 a month.
Sometimes I even have to buy some antibiotics because I didn't have. I wrote to three laboratories in Lima that some people told me that they supply. No answer at all. you know. And that was on January that I did that when I was in December, when I went to pass the experience with my son. So, the only support that I have is for Dr. Ronald, my friend, for the last 20 years, since I met him, he came about 12 times to Peru. And when he comes, he brings for me a suitcase of dental supplies, you know, cement, resins for the fillings, and anesthetic needles, gauze, no, gloves, and that's it. I have for the whole year. Yeah.
That's why he and I were talking, and we're trying to work out the plan. I had to talk to Javi when he sent me a fax. There is a company in the United States to send supplies, antibiotics, inflammatory pills, pain pills, free for the missions. Is that right, brother?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to work with Javi to get all these supplies here, and then work with the Peruvian embassy to send the supply back into his field. Yes?
Yeah, how do you get
your supply of Gideons, a new gentleman? No, there are Gideons there. I was a head of the Gideons in Peru. I used to travel with the American Gideons in Peru. And, I give an offering, okay? 50 soles for a box of New Testament.
About $20.
Huh?
About $20.
50 soles,
Are there any restrictions on how you're able to preach there? I mean, does the government get involved at all? No, they don't.
You can preach in this corner, the other corner, go to schools, and
so you can.
You see, when I am in the city, in the Quitos, people, some churches invite me to preach or to teach. But if I don't have anything to do, I put my gift and New Testament and I go the whole afternoon, after lunch, you know, at 1 o'clock to 5, I go to the hospital. Preach the gospel and the hospital is completely open. I took 50 New Testament and I come without any testament. All of them covered. No restriction, no problem.
Amazing, and the problem is hungry also. There's no reflection in the school. You bring the Bibles and read the Bibles, and they think that they are so smart that reading the Bible doesn't affect them. But look what happened in Nicaragua. The country changed with the election and so on. After 25 years, you get a new generation who read the Bible. That's a different country altogether. But this is the only country that has reflection on the Bible. The others are open. All right, any other questions? Yes, Tamela?
Are you like the first dentist that these people have ever seen?
If you are the first and primer dentista que ellos vieron.
No. Because there is an American missionary, Mike Dempsey. He's been there a longer time than me. We've been there for 6 years. And he's been there 9 years, I think, 9 years. And he had a beautiful boat, air-conditioned boat, with two chefs. So he takes teams from America, from different churches, doesn't matter, and sometimes there comes doctors, nurses, and dentists. And they do the job. They stay in one community and do everything there in the community. So they saw many doctors and dentists. And I work for this American missionary for 5 months. I work when I just arrived to Jesus. I work for him and I learned the way how to work in the boat. Yeah, he brings teams from America, young people, elderly people, professional, whatever it is, and they bring clothes, they bring shoes, they bring glasses, they it goes for the kids and they evangelize the kids, you know, the youth people. They pass a beautiful time there in the jungle, and they see the reality 4 days in the jungle and 1 day in Iquitos City, in the hotel. And when we came back from the jungle, they see the reality, and youth people, they give the testimony about those 4 days, and they start to cry, and they say, when I come back to America, I will never be the same, I am going to keep my money, I will throw away this or that, you know, we have so many things here, no? They see the reality there, these people. These people, they are only live, you know, what they catch it. They catch a fish, they kill a wild pig or a monkey, and that's the food, no? Green banana, yucca, rice. If one of them has plenty of rice, you know, they will give to the other who hasn't rice and give bananas, and that's how they do it. They don't have money, they will have. They will have maybe $3, $4, that's all.
Bananas, they eat a lot. They eat a lot. And I never knew they had that green banana, those potatoes. You have a chicken fire in Nicaragua after a week for the bananas. It's all you don't like it. How do you like it?
I take my food, and I always travel with somebody else, a young pastor, 35 years old, no kids, married with 3 kids. And I have to pay him, because he doesn't have money. I have to pay him the fares. I buy the food. So when we arrive, there is some person there who is going to cook for us. And I will give to these people, no, the beans, the oil, the salt, sugar, coffee, everything I will give to the person. She will cook for us, and they will eat there too. But they will give us to some things, you know, maybe eggs, you know, eggs or fish, you know, when they catch fish. So we share. But I cannot go with my hands empty hands, because they don't have money. They don't have money. I am not going to rob it to people who don't have anything to rob it.
There is no industry in the area.
No,
they don't manufacture anything, sell anything.
In places where they have plenty fish, they catch a lot of fish, and they are cutting the fish and putting salt on the fish to send it to the city. Okay? People will eat a salty fish.
So that's the only
salt fish. Or the bananas, or yam.
Yeah.
50 pieces of banana, no?
What's the life expectancy of the people of the you treat in the villages, and do you advocate flossing?
How long do you live?
The people in there, 55 to 60. Because the nutrition, the bad nutrition. Besides, you will see the kids with her tummy like that, because they drink the water from the river. So what they will do later on? You know, I am very ambitious. I have a lot of things in my head. You see, do well.
Yeah.
Well, so these people will drink the water from the well instead of drinking from the river. Okay? You can help with those things, you know. Build up churches, build up maybe the pastor's house too, you know. And they bring to a Bible school in Iquitos later on, so they will become pastors, and then giving a sawmill, and in 3 months they will have the pastor's house, 3 months they will have the church, and to have church in those communities that they don't have.
So there is no electricity then?
Some of them have electricity. Not every day. One day after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every other day.
Every other day. From 6 or 6:30 to 10. But sometimes they don't have electricity, because there isn't money for the gasoline, okay? For the generator. So the generator is there, but no money for the gasoline.
Who brings the gasoline?
They buy.
They come from Brazil or from
Peru? No, in Peru. From Peru, yes. Yeah. Oh. They come to the larger towns and they get gasoline there.
They send gasoline in the tanks.
Bring big
cylinders.
Yeah. Oh, okay. This American missionary used to bring big cylinders of gasoline to stay 2-3 days in one place. And he knew already that they don't have gasoline, but the generator was there. And so we stayed 3 days there, working, and at night time, all with lights, you know, preaching the gospel, you know?
That was nice.
We used to do that, Mike Benson.
Eventually one day. All right? We have a good idea. Thank you very much. Let's give a good hand. My next pastor's meeting, I'm going to schedule in October. I will bring some of the thoughts of our brother, and some other churches can have money. I think if we have $300,000, we can really have a nice boat and do aluminum. I already wrote a company for aluminum columns, and can go easy there and build things easy. It is a great project, and I go over there for no alligator, all right? And no monkeys. Well, monkeys okay, because you pry it and that's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you use people of all calibers to do amazing things so that one soul can be saved. Here is a man who abandoned his profession and the peak of his career in Lima, Peru, as a dentist, with the association with other dentists, leave everything just to go to one part of the country because his heart was moved. And then here's a church who is 6,000 miles away who had the vision to support him. Lord, you are the one who do these things, and we honor you, and we pray that we be careful with our money here. That's why, God, I pray that our building will not consume our money, but we'll take the money if necessary only, because the rest of the money we'd like to use it for projects like that. This is what Bethel will invest the money, Lord. Not in a luxurious building, but in men like these who bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Who knows if one of those people are the last one to be saved, and then we all go to be with you. Thank you for Dante and Maruja. Thank you, Lord, for their life, for their willingness to serve. And we pray tonight that we have become more aware of the needs of others. Thank you. We pray for the food that follow, that we may enjoy a great one night of fellowship. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.